Second attempt.
Oh.
We recorded, I think, might have been, for me, one of our favorite introductions. And then technical difficulties. Oh, we got to re-record like 5 minutes in. Goddamn.
Yeah, it was my bad. Like, I was looking at... It's so annoying. It didn't even happen in the beginning. We're like 4 or 5 minutes in already. And I was like, why can I hear Mark the way I can? And then I kind of touched the side of my leg where my pocket is. And I suddenly felt my headphones in there.
Damn.
And yeah, you could hear Mark in the background over our FaceTime call. So.
It happens. Yeah. It's okay. You know why?
We're still in a good mood.
Exactly. It's so okay.
Why are you in a good mood, Mark?
Man, it's a beautiful day today, just like every other day. What can I say, man? Bars.
You know, you said them before, but they still hit the same way.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, we talked about this already, but, you know, I spent my morning just soaking up the sunlight on the rooftop, just drinking my coffee, enjoying the warm sun. I got that natural dopamine. Like you ain't never seen.
I love how you say it though. I already talked about that in the first one. Like, first of all, dopamine. Like,
how you say
emphasis
it?
Emphasis on that word. I don't know. You just put like the second part of the word. You go like dopamine. You put like extra emphasis on it.
I'm rapping, bro. Last night, how I spent my evening yesterday.
Oh. Ooh,
so I had a productive day and all, and then I was at home, and I decided to search Travis Scott live concert.
Oh, okay.
It's like an hour long YouTube video. Oh man, watching this man perform, like, oh, crazy to see the masses of people that he was moving through his music. All of them like jump into his songs and like the energy. I was like, crazy. So I pulled out my phone, and fun fact about me, I got a notes on my phone. Bro, you can scroll on one page of notes that's titled lyrics for I don't know how long. I write lyrics like in my free time, just like that.
Okay.
Just like try and rhyme a little bit. Most of that, I'd say about 95% of it is trash. But that 5%, I like it. So we'll see if I become a rapper one day. But nah, joke.
Do you think you'd ever actually do a rap song? It probably. Hey,
honestly, I think like one day I could definitely imagine myself just like pop into a studio and just like record something.
Do you think it'd be cringe? Like, you'd like to do it, but do you think it'd be more of a cringe thing, or do you think you could pull it off?
I don't know if you've seen this. I think like about a year ago or maybe even longer. On the platform that we record our podcast, I also recorded like two kind of like songs. Like,
no.
I put a beat together and I rapped.
I'm
closing 7-figure deals, eating 5-star meals. Like,
and I didn't see this.
Bro, no, it was like, it's like, you gotta go way back. I think it might even be titled like in a certain way, but I was really? Wondering, I was like, I didn't know where else to record. I was like, I wonder if Connor will see this one day.
That's crazy. That's a proper like podcast secret. I didn't know that.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know this. I mean, whenever I tell people like, yeah, like I kind of write lyrics in my free time just like for fun, they're always like kind of shocked. And I had two of my friends over the other day or the other week, and we were just like kicking it, we were chilling, and then I asked them, what if you could do something in your life, if you could achieve a dream and pursue something that you know you could not fail in, what would it be? And when they asked me the question back, I said I'd become a rapper. Like, for real. I see rappers like Travis Scott or Drake, or even I'll look at like Michael Jackson concerts, and it's just I imagine myself like being on top of that stage and performing in front of all those people. And imagine you look at somebody and they're singing word for word something that you've written and vibing to it, and everyone's on top of the world. I think that feeling is uncomparable to anything else.
No, I think definitely any form of like entertainment. There's so many different ways. Like, you can be a musician, even someone who doesn't write their own songs, but like DJs and stuff have mm-hmm. a similar effect on people, or actors, the way like they can, like a really good actor can like influence people.
Or even like, imagine like you're a fighter and you've just won a world championship and you raise your hand and everyone's like, you know,
yeah, like, yeah, 100%. Like there's a, not everybody in the public eye, in the spotlight, but a lot of these people, they at the end of the day, their whole job is entertainment in one way or the other, and a lot of it can touch people in many ways and quite deeply, and a lot of people are very affected by it. And music obviously is a very good way, because you've got two things on the one side, the musical part, the beat and all these things that like where people intrinsically kind of vibe with, and then the lyrics itself, like what the people say, what message they want to portray. So you got two verticals where you can touch people with, and some people have different ways of doing it. I mean, you've got the really lyrical people like J. Cole or something, who's like just purely lyrics, and then you've got someone with Travis Scott who maybe isn't on the lyrical level as J. Cole is.
I think you can use a better example. You do like Playboi Carti or something like.
Yeah, but like where it's just like total vibes, like it just goes off, and like you don't necessarily always listen to the lyrics 100%, but you just go off to the song and you really feel it. So
it's just the energy that he brings is absolutely crazy. But yeah, like I mean, honestly, well, even when I started with social media, I did it for fun. Like I didn't think it would ever become anything. And this like writing lyrics and stuff, I also do it for fun. But so I mean, yeah, it's just a matter of like when does a day come where I feel comfortable enough to record something and publish it and actually think, oh, this isn't cringe, like this is actually a good song.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people like produce, like realistically not many people actually produce a song at the beginning and the first song they publish is not cringe. Like
Either
you've got, like, I think you've got two ways. Either you, from what I've seen, is people either make like loads of song for themselves until they get to a point where the song is good, or they just start releasing these songs early and they're shit, but over time they just get better in a way.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's the same thing with everything. Like whenever you start something for the first time, you're gonna be trash. You know, for example, you listen to our first episode on Know What I'm Saying, or even like the audio quality was trash. Like, I think it's one of our most viewed episodes and the topic was really good, but the audio quality is trash. And I feel like just the flow of conversation isn't at the same level as it is nowadays with our episodes. 100%. You know what I'm saying? So even when I started with social media, like, my videos were also trash in the beginning, hella cringy. Like even like way, way back when I was like, I had like just a few hundred followers, I would post like, I look back at my stories sometimes and I'm like, oh my God, man, that was so cringe.
It has to be like realistically. Yeah. I mean, there's not many people that can like start something straight away and they're just really, really good at it.
Exactly.
Most people will just have to work on it and get better at it. But I mean, look at, I think nowadays someone who really portrayed that story well a lot in music, if you look at what's his name, Jack Harlow, like some of the music he produced in the past, I mean, a lot of people will say that's like, that's cringe and shit. Look how big he is now, like he's massive rapper and like
for real,
sells out stadiums and goes to these concerts and people are going crazy for him. His shit, a lot of people say his stuff at the beginning was like cringe and shit.
I mean, but look
where he is now.
Yeah, it's always cringe to produce music or try and become a rapper or try and start making videos or whatever. It's always cringe until you make it. Until it starts 100%. Popping off, until people start to dig it and, you know, your videos or whatever, your work starts to get a certain quality. Then it's like, oh, that's really cool.
But it's just how we people are. It started in school time. I think everyone can remember in school when you tried something out, whatever it might be. If you tried something out, it could be the way you dressed. It could be the activity you did. Like you, for example, you didn't want to play football as a boy. You wanted to do something else, like
dancing,
I don't know,
whatever.
Dancing or whatever. Yeah. As a kid, like because you're stepping out and like not doing what everyone else does in a sense. People will judge you and make fun of you, and then suddenly if you become really good at it and people start rating you, oh, that's sick, bro. Like, I really, yeah. That's so cool that you did that and whatever. And it's so cool you started from such a young age. And
I always knew you would make it. Like,
yeah. It's like, yeah. Just tell me that when I was like in sixth grade and all of you were making fun of me for doing that and that. Like,
exactly. It's just,
and I don't think it's necessary you have to hate on the people that hated back on you. People didn't know better. No. People, like, it's like being bitter doesn't make sense, but it's mm-hmm. just how people are. They hate quickly when something's not normal or in a sense they can't comprehend it, or like they have their own issues, so they just,
I think most of the time as well, like I think every person in this world has some sort of passion that they'd like to pursue, but they don't because they're too shy or they're too scared to pursue it. And those are the exact people that will kind of hate on others for doing exactly what they're too afraid of. I could imagine that being the majority of the cases.
Yeah, there's most of the times there's a underlying other issue than just people wanting to hate on you on the base of like hating. Like, there's something else that motivates them, even if they don't know it.
The hater's gonna hate, but the bank account keeps growing.
Ideally, that's an ideal scenario.
It will.
No.
Oh, man.
But yeah.
We have a podcast topic request from one of our listeners. And, you know, we listen to you guys. We hear, we read your messages whenever you send something. And we always discuss, like, whether we want to talk about this topic or not. And this request was actually quite good. I liked it.
Yeah.
What was it again?
It was self-control.
Right.
How you implement it, what's your perspective on it, how you would say self-control, how your idea of self-control and how you do it, in a sense. I would probably try to go that direction, because everyone has their own opinion, own way of doing it, when and where. Maybe we can just talk about maybe different scenarios, different ways.
I mean, I think the first thing we got to do is narrow down the topic, because self-control is such a broad thing, you know, that could mean so many different things and so many different scenarios.
Yeah.
What I'd like to do is say that self-control and discipline go hand in hand with each other.
Yeah.
I would always say that in a lot of cases, they mean the same thing. If you have self-control, you have discipline, and you can't have discipline without self-control. So I don't know, I mean, I guess if we put out like a few scenarios and we talk about, okay, how could you implement self-control in this certain scenario that may be common to many people, that would be a way we could go about the conversation. You know, so let's say like this, we often talk about, you know, self-improvement, fitness, studying, getting after your goals, and so on, amongst other things. So let's stay on that topic, because a lot of our demographic, I think, could relate to this the most when it comes to, let's say, starting with training or studying, sitting down and studying for an exam, writing a paper, whatever it is.
Self-improvement in any way.
Yeah, a lot of the times, I mean, myself included, I don't want to start this, you know. I don't feel like it today, you know. I'm tired, I didn't sleep well. The weather is nice, or it is nice. I'd rather be doing something else, anything else.
Yeah.
You know, but what do you do to get yourself to sit down and start working on this task?
Personally, I think for me, it's in general, also self-control is a lot to do with emotions. Either way, emotions in that scenario, what you've talked, it could be any scenario, but emotions always plays a role. And for me, it comes down to not drowning those emotions or like shutting them out, but controlling them. That's basically what self-control is. Like, you have impulses, you have certain things, and you have to control those impulses. And I think a lot of people are, in a sense, too quick to say self-control is basically, I have this emotion and I'll just stomp it down and burn it down and I'll not think about it. But for me, self-control is more understanding that emotion and actually controlling it, and just instead of like getting rid of it.
Yeah.
Because I think you can very quickly, exactly, with specifically actually with stuff like work, tedious work like that, if you get rid of that emotion, you can very quickly get frustrated and bored, because then it gets like work that's very monotone, very, you're not very engaged.
Yeah.
So I'd write to understand, okay, why am I feeling like this? Like, what's the work? What, for example, I have to do, write an essay for school.
Mm-hmm.
Shitty essay, shitty topic, don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I'd rather, in this weather we talked about, go out in the park, meet some friends or whatever, mm-hmm. have a coffee, all these things. But I've got to do it. Instead of being like, oh, shut down my emotions, what I'd rather do and what I have to do, and I just sit down for 6 hours and just work it out, I'm starting to learn more that I have to give myself like a bit of both, in a sense. Be like, okay, I've got to get this done, but I can't get into a space where I'm dreading this completely. So let's say like, okay, on a date like today, I'll probably give myself a reward. I'd say like, okay, I want to do this much work. I'll work from, I don't know, 10 to 2, let's mm-hmm. say. Then I do a bit of a break. Then I work maybe another few hours, and then I give myself a whole evening to enjoy the heat, the evening sun in it, whatever. And that way I didn't shut out my emotion of like, I want to do something fun,
mm-hmm.
but I still got work done, because I'm a procrastinator. I'm like, I could easily go into this in the middle part where I'd be like, okay, I should be doing this, but I want to go out. And then I end up doing nothing, because I'm like, I can't go out because I have to do work, but I don't want to do work. So I just do little stupid shit in between and actually don't get anything done.
I fall into that trap as well a lot of the times.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
And that self-control is kind of like exactly also what you said, the adding in this discipline. Okay, I've got to do this. I'll do that for a certain period of time. I plan it mm-hmm. out, and then I still give myself what I need, what I want. Doesn't always work like that. If you're on a deadline, sometimes you just have to work through it.
Yeah.
And that's also part of self-control, understanding the importance. But if you have that time, that balance in between these.
Yeah. I like the point that you make about not, you know, neglecting how you feel about a certain situation, you know, not to just like, you know, push down those emotions that like, oh, I don't want to write this essay right now. Instead of like pushing them down and just burying them as much as you can, kind of like feeling it. And then what I try to do is shift my perspective.
Mm.
So let's say, for example, sticking to this essay example, I sit down for an essay, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I have a million other things that I'd rather do than write this essay.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, not feeling it, I'm uninspired, I'd rather be outside, and so on.
Mm.
What I try and do is, I would hope at least the majority of people that are, for example, studying have decided to study for a specific reason.
Yeah.
You know? Or there's like a certain motivation that was there when you first started. And to remember that motivation, remember why you started, why you're doing this, what the ultimate goal is. To keep that in mind when sitting down to do this, what may seem extremely small task for the bigger picture, but you still need to do it in order to move on. You know, this one task is like one level out of 1,000. But you can't go up to the next level unless you've done this one.
Mm.
So I think that helps for me as well, like just to get that overall picture, that shift that perspective, like, okay, I don't want to write this essay, but you know what? If I get a good grade on this essay, that puts me one step closer to getting that big house with the front yard and the kids and family. Like, that's how I 100%. See it. That's I think of like the way long-term goals. And if this thing isn't fixed or isn't completed, that will set the course for me to go in a completely different direction.
No, I fully agree. I think it's, again, also taking that emotion of like, it's a short-term emotion of like, I want to give myself a sense of pleasure of like going out today, enjoying the sun.
Mm-hmm.
But realistically, will I remember maybe this one or a few days where I gave myself that time, or will I remember if I sit down now, get the good grades, open myself to more doors afterwards, and the future, whatever I get, the positive things I'll get through this work in that period of time, will that be a bigger benefit and give me more emotional pleasure than maybe that 1 or 2 days in the sun? And it's like just weighing up what's more important to you, exactly what you say, shifting your perspective.
There's a quote that I'd like to get tattooed on me one day. I just haven't figured out a correct way to word it.
Mm.
I swear, if anyone tries to copy this tattoo idea, it's gonna become personal. it's something along the lines of like the pain of discipline is a lot less than the pain of regret.
Mm.
You know, like pushing through and doing what you need to do, that pain is a lot less painful than the pain of regret that you feel when you don't, when you decide to give up.
Mm.
You know, like imagine you decide, okay, I don't want to write this essay, I don't want to finish it. Yeah. I'll just hand it in next semester.
Yeah, yeah.
After the deadline is over, you're going to be like, oh man, this is going to drag out even longer than it should have. You know, and then the next year you're gonna find yourself in the exact same position, and you're like, damn.
No, 100%, because self-control in a sense is like, it's self-control is like conquering yourself in a way.
Mm.
It's like you and with, if we stay on the same topic again, you give yourself that essay, you suddenly you let it slip, you do the other stuff, and then comes to deadline, and then you have to bang it out in like in an evening or whatever.
Yeah.
And I've been guilty of that many times. But what I'm trying to learn is like, or I know, but like I'm trying to like now remember that every time is like, once you do that too many times, it's really difficult to say no the next time, because then you just repeat, like you repeat the habit every time of the next essay and the next mm-hmm. essay. And that is basically, in a way, is you losing self-control over yourself. You let your emotions control you in a way. It's
honestly, I think that's like the definition of a weak man or woman.
No, it is, because and the funny thing is, you know what, I struggled with that, and I think maybe other people have that as well. I struggled with that because I still got a lot of results with doing that. I was lucky enough to be in a position where my skill got me through a lot of situations that I realistically shouldn't have got through, where the time I gave myself for an essay or whatever shouldn't have not produced the grade I did.
Yeah, same.
Like that.
Yeah.
And you subconsciously give your, like it gives you like a little gap or a door where you can always slide through and think, oh, I'll still get through it.
Yeah.
But realistically also, if I think about it, what if I still put in 100%? I won't, this is like a lot of the things I think about more and more, and I still work on every day, is maybe that, not necessarily the grade, that one grade, that one essay will get much better by putting in more effort, but that way of thinking, that habit, that self-control of doing it every time will in the long run produce a way better result for me. Because if I tackle every issue and every problem like that, I'll be way better off, and I believe I can achieve way, way more that way. So yeah, just having that self-control and like sticking to that is a key thing to learn.
I've also found myself in situations where, you know, I got by with something that a little too easily, you know, like I got a good grade for a presentation that I really put minimal effort in.
Yeah.
Which is fine, because also I also have the mindset that, you know, everything will be all right. You know, everything will work out the way it is, and there's no reason to stress too much. Like, it'll all be okay. You know, I also got that mindset, but I also ask myself, like, damn, if I put 100%, you know, like if I'm giving, let's say, 40%, and I'm still coming along and I'm still doing my stuff fine.
Yeah.
Imagine if I gave 100.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
Imagine how much farther I would get in life, whether it's professionally, romantically, whatever. If I gave 100%, how much farther would I come? You know what I'm saying? And like, granted, you could say this no matter how good you are at something, right? Like, let's say I just landed this six-figure deal, and I didn't even have to work overtime.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
But imagine you did work overtime, you would have made 7-figure deal. You know, and you could always say that, and at the end of the day, it just matters like, okay, because that also falls in the trap of what we talked about like earlier episodes of like never being satisfied with your life and so on. So, but that's like a whole other topic.
Yeah,
right?
No, definitely, and that depends on the person. Some people, they're happy if they achieve a certain goal with that amount of work, and if they get that, then they're happy and they don't want to do more because they don't want to put in that effort. Yeah. And that's also completely down to you.
Yeah, I mean, you also got to enjoy the stuff that you do have, right? Because if you keep running after the stuff that you don't, then you'll never be happy.
But yeah, it's such a difficult thing because at this stage of our lives, we're in a time, a lot of people in your like in this age group probably at least from 20 to 30 is like time where you, if you want to achieve certain goals, you have to put a certain level of work in, because realistically most of us won't have a talent good enough to still carry us the whole way. We're not going to be the best singer or the best football player or whatever out there, where pure talent can already get us to $1 million contracts, let's say, because some football agent, like a football club, signs me and I'm like the next big deal.
Yeah.
Most people don't have that. So you have to be realistic. Okay, if I want to achieve certain things, I'm going to have to put in the work.
Did you hear that one kid? There's this one kid in America who's like a kid, like 13 years old, and he got committed to a D1 football university because he was running a 40-yard dash at an incredible speed.
Yeah, but like the thing is with him, like he is amazing and his talent already opened for him the doors. Uh-huh. But I can promise you, if he doesn't keep up the work and by the time he hits like 18 and is supposed to go to that college and he doesn't deliver, he's gonna be dropped in no time. They do not give a shit. Realistically, no one gives a shit about you. He's just there because he's got that talent. There's this hype around him, and fair play to him. And I hope he makes something out of it. But like, if he doesn't, if he will have to put in still a decent level of work to keep that talent going and actually bring him all the way. And otherwise, people will drop him. It's
there's a saying that hard work beats talent every time, you know. And there's been plenty of cases that have proved that.
Yeah.
You know, and whatever direction a person chooses to go in, I think it's important that you give 100%, that you do work hard. And of course, there are going to be days where you don't feel like it, where you don't want to sit down and put in the work that you need to do, but. Yeah. You also got to kind of control your emotions, like we said, and say, okay, this is how I feel, and I acknowledge that, but let me try and shift my perspective a little bit and push through no matter what, because at the end of the day, like, my goals don't really care how I feel right now.
Yeah.
And neither does my competition, you know? So, because that's also a thing, like, you're never the only one in the run for something. Like, there's most likely a bunch of other people that are trying to achieve the same thing that you are. And at the end of the day, the only person that's going to achieve that goal is the one that kind of puts in more work than the rest.
Yeah. No, I agree fully. But coming back to self-control, I think for me, still this point of like understanding your emotions and not getting rid of them is so important in any scenario. Self-control, all we talk through, but even something that gets like emotional on a personal level, someone messes with you, someone whatever. Not most of the times, probably almost every time, it's like every reaction you have that is purely impulsive and straight comes from emotions isn't good, like won't be the best course of action. But at the same time, if something made you feel a certain way, it doesn't mean that, okay, I shouldn't react on my emotions straight away as an impulse, but it doesn't mean you should drown them. You should understand them and then figure out, okay, what's the best way of handling this, and still the best way of course of action is still acting on these emotions, but in a logical sense. Okay, I've got these emotions, something that happened to me maybe wasn't the right thing. I've done wrong or whatever. Okay, I could either react rushed and just straight out of impulse, or I could react out of emotion, what I feel and what I know then to be right, but in a logical and ordered manner.
Yeah. There was this one case of one of my classmates. I remember this was so interesting to watch. It was the beginning of the semester and I didn't really know this guy. Mm. And he was presenting, and halfway through his presentation, he lost his train of thought. Mm-hmm. And so he was standing in front of the classroom and he was like, and he couldn't figure out like what was the next thing to say.
Yeah.
And he kind of gave into his emotions of like whatever they were, embarrassment or frustration or anger, mm-hmm. or whatever. And then he told the professor like, you know what, just fail me. Like, it's all good. And he wanted to stop the presentation. And then the mm-hmm. professor was like, no, take a breath. Like, keep going. Like, try it again. No worries.
Yeah.
And then he's like, okay. And he finished the presentation, and I'm not sure what grade he got, but he definitely didn't fail, you know?
Mm.
And then recently he presented again at the end of the semester.
Mm.
And once again, he lost his train of thought during a presentation. He was like talking mm-hmm. for a really long time and he lost his train of thought. But this time his reaction was totally different. Like, he took his time to kind of figure out where he was.
Yeah.
What he was talking about. He asked the audience, like, yeah, where, what was I speaking about again? Yeah. And it was so interesting to see, like, how his reaction had changed, how it had developed for the better. And I was like, damn, like, good on you, you know? Because that guy that you were a few months prior literally said, nah, like, just fail me. Like, I don't want to deal with this anymore. Like, this is embarrassing or whatever. But then he, like,
exactly
controlled his emotions. And he was like, okay, listen, like, this is how I feel. But, like, this isn't the right way to go about it. And then, and at the end of the day, like, he finished the presentation and everyone, I think, looked at him as well in a better way.
And realistically, he probably got a better grade because giving up in that moment in the first place will have a worse impact than him maybe losing his train of thought, but him then being able to collect himself, being okay mm-hmm. with his shit, I'm embarrassed. But how can I react the best way on this?
Yeah.
I'm not going to just stop here. I'm just going to try and find a calm flow back into this presentation. And maybe I'll get a mark down a bit for that moment. But overall, I'll probably also get a positive impact of the way I handled myself rather than if I just gave up in that moment and then I had to start again.
Exactly. And for the next presentation, when that happens again, he'll be even better prepared for it.
Exactly.
You know? Like, and so... props to him, you know.
Mm.
Oh, that was like a nice real life example that I saw of like someone controlling his emotions.
100%.
Yeah. All right. Well, we at like 33 minutes right now.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more to self control, but I think it was definitely a good little part we talked about and first insight to the idea of how we maybe do it and what we think about it.
For sure. So. Yeah, I mean, if you listeners want us to go deeper into this topic, like, feel free to write us a message on Instagram. Otherwise, if you've got any other topic requests, like we said in the beginning, like, we read your messages, we take your requests into consideration. So feel free to write 100%. Us on Instagram at Know What I'm Saying Podcast. Make sure to share this podcast with your friends and follow us. And yeah, we'll see you next week.
Yes.